the Lord has just progressively and steadily throughout the years built us up to this point. All of the teachings, everything that he had us to go through, understanding salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit and giving offerings and tithing with the right motivation and building the walls and gates around our families and fighting for our families and then stepping through the open door to finally come to this place where you say, Lord, it's all for the harvest. It's not, we're not, we don't have all these benefits just simply to try to get rich and famous and to try to find security in this life and wealth in this life. It's really for the harvest. The Lord was, it's been amazing to look at the journey he took us on to bring us to this place where you can say, thank you, Lord, for all the benefits, the great things that we have in the kingdoms, the blessings, everything. But it really, it's all for this. The word of the Lord says in the end of it all, we're all going to be casting down our crowns and rewards and everything before him. So all of the blessings and everything that he's given us is so that we can one day join in with, can you imagine that? All of the heavenly hosts and all of the people of God through the ages of time, we'll join in with people who died 1,000, 2,000 years ago, but we'll join in with them and saying, you are Lord. It was all for you. It's all for you. And we'll be able to stand up in our generation and say, Lord, we held to the faith. We stuck to what you told us. We held to the Great Commission and to the Great Commandment. And we were a witness for you in our generation. That's really all that matters. God has to have a witness in every generation, in every era of time, so that there'll be nobody that can say to him, I didn't follow you because there was no examples. The reason why I never committed to you because there was so many hypocrites. I couldn't find nobody that was real, nobody that was right. And God will say, no, that's not true. Not only was they in little buildings, but they weren't just sitting up in a building somewhere. They was your next door neighbor. I put them right in next to you as a coworker. Ain't it something? You keep ending up with these jobs where the only peace, the only presence of God, we bring it, and the example is right in front of you. And so you had an opportunity, and you knew what they were about. Even before they opened their mouths, you knew that they are really saved. You know that that's a real believer. And it took away your excuse to say, ain't nobody right. And so we'll be able to stand before him and say, Lord, we were obedient to the heavenly vision. We didn't spend all of our time and energy and effort trying to pursue the American dream. We really were in pursuit of you. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome this morning to our time of prayer. And those of you that watch us online, welcome. I know that we're very sober and serious in these days, but it's because God is speaking to us some very important things. In a minute, my wife is going to come before you, and she's going to lead us in our worship, in our prayer. I'm speaking prophetically, right? But I wanted to give us some specific things that she's going to help us to circle in prayer, to walk around in prayer. And so I gave you guys some sheets, things that I want to go over with you today that she's going to pray about, lead us in prayer about. As you guys know, our theme for this year is It's All for the Harvest. And this phrase, I mentioned this last week, this phrase became one of the most important statements for us back in St. Louis when we were young adult leaders. That was the 20 and over group. We set out to win souls and to disciple souls using new and innovative strategies at the time. They're commonplace now, but it wasn't back then when we started doing these things. And when different ones were going through really hard times, everything from losing their jobs to physical ailments, just really hard stuff, things going on in their life, everything from divorce, abuse. But we would comfort one another with these words, and that was, it's all for the harvest. And I can't tell you how endearing that phrase became for us, because it became a rallying cry at the same time, a word of encouragement as for the reason for all of this, that yes, there is backlash, there is opposition. The enemy, the kingdom of God does suffer violence. But that was our statement to say that the violent take it by force. That everything that we're going through, it's all for the harvest, because God's going to get the glory and there's going to be a harvest of souls. So this year, we are taking on that theme and praying along those lines, that it's all for the harvest. And the Lord put up on my heart to begin to share with us and talk to us about really what the harvest is, how it's done, the process of it, so that we can have a little bit better idea as to what God is actually calling us to. And that's part of the reason why we're stepping up our emphasis on committing our hearts and our lives to the Lord afresh and anew every day, even in our worship songs. In your hands, you have something called Bridges to Peace. I just want to share with you, because this is one of our issues of prayer for today. Our bishop is going to be in Dallas, Texas this week. He's going to be at T.D. Jakes Church in a closed-door meeting with pastors and leaders from all over the country. As you guys know, God sovereignly calls me and Bishop Harry Jackson to meet back in August. Then Bishop Jackson was in St. Louis for a conference that my brother hosts every year. And it just so happened that the conference took place the weekend before the verdict concerning Michael Brown was announced. And so Bishop Jackson stayed in town a little bit longer, and he and my brother ended up being interviewed by CNN, Fox News, CBN, trying to think of all the different people. Yeah, that's Fox News. He sat down with my brother, and as he learned more and more about the things that we have been doing through the years, my brother disclosed to him this thing that he does that we call Bridges to Peace. And that is these areas and strategy that the Lord has given us through the years to minister in the city of St. Louis. Well, Bishop Jackson helped my brother to kind of organize it, rebrand it, put it in phrases that other pastors and leaders could catch on to. And these are, I just want to kind of put it in perspective, Urban Life Family Center has been, all of these 10 years, we've been implementing that marriage and family development aspect of the Bridges. We have constantly said to everybody that we are connected. We're not just here in Harrisburg, quote, doing something, that we're connected to a higher vision, that this was very intentional. My brother planted this ministry here in Harrisburg as part of a nationwide and eventual international effort to bring healing into urban communities around the United States and the world. And so God gave him these particular things that we have been doing through the years, a regional summit, reconciliation forum, marriage and family development, joint community service, advocacy and development, and regional law clinics to do all over the country to bring practical, very practical answers and solutions in the community. Here in Harrisburg, we've been doing the marriage and development aspect of it as a local church. So now you can see, I want to put this in your hands because you can see exactly what's been going on. This is who we're connected with. This is what we're a part of. We tried, as you guys remember, we tried to start doing more things from community services. Remember when we found out about the schools, that the students that didn't have any food, and so we launched forth with that, but we weren't able to continue with that, because as the enemy always does, and that's what we're always trying to get people ready for, when you do something for God in the community, there's going to be warfare in your life. So everybody that was involved in that, to try to help us get that going, now they no longer even attend our church because they came up against the warfare. That's just how it is. And I know that they didn't realize they were part of something way bigger than just a little church trying to help feed some kids. No, this is part of a national and international campaign that God has given a bishop to minister into a city. And so that's why the coming to church and the praying and the fasting and the getting rooted and grounded in the word, so that when we go forth with the things that God has given us to do, we're able to stand. And so many times the church has underestimated this aspect of the ministry. They think, oh, just going to church again, hearing that same old stuff again. Oh, what's all it for? Let's get out there and do something. We need to be doing something. Well, if you haven't gotten rooted and grounded, fasted and prayed and ready, then you're not ready for the backlash that's coming when you get out there and do something. Because you better believe the enemy ain't going to just simply sit back and let you take territory that he has had for generations. And so that's why all of this fasting and praying and our prayer watches and the training and the teaching, so that we're ready. We're prepared. We're soldiers in this. We really are. We're soldiers. It's for real. I keep thinking about the Matrix, and we are absolutely the ones that go in and get people unplugged. But you got agents. You got agents that are in there doing everything they can to stop us from coming in there and freeing people. And so that's what's happening with us. So I wanted to put that in your hands. Our bishop, as I mentioned, will be in Dallas this week at the Potter's House, because Bishop Jackson set it up that these pastors and leaders would all come there for a closed door conference. So this isn't the typical conference where people just come in and preach. That ain't what this is about. This is the real deal. Pastors coming in and finding out, what do I need to do to change my community for real? And so Bishop Jackson, upon discovering what my brother's been doing all these years, he set it up like this. I'm going to bring in all these leaders, and we're going to present to them what you've been doing in St. Louis for 27 years. Remember, I used to always say, be prepared, get ready, be prepared, because one day God's going to open up an opportunity, and you can't be scrambling trying to get yourself together when that moment comes. So our ministry is now experiencing that moment where God shines the light on you and says to the whole nation, you need to be doing what they're doing. And I just told you guys last week that my brother said, pastors and leaders all over the country are now saying they should have been focusing on families these past 30 years. Instead of focusing on church growth, they should have been working on family growth. And so he said, keep doing what you're doing in Harrisburg, because one day, light's going to turn on for some people. They're going to go, we should have been working on families. Where can we find somebody that's already been doing this? So you remain faithful. So that's us. Lord, we're going to remain faithful. So that's one of our issues of prayer for today. Praying for our bishop, praying concerning the Bridges of Peace and our role in it with marriage and family development here in Harrisburg. And the other thing that the Lord has already put on my heart, as I mentioned to you guys about a month ago, that we want to have reconciliation for them. We want to have a reconciliation forum. I've already reached out to now 3 pastors. Start off with 2. Now there's been a third one. And I know that I believe that one of the things that will probably happen is after they hear about this event and that reconciliation forums is part of it, Harrisburg, as Harrisburg always does, goes, we ought to do that. And they may contact my brother and ask him, how do we get a reconciliation forum set up in Harrisburg? And he'll say, call my brother. He's right there in Harrisburg. You don't have to call me and ask me to come in and do it. I got somebody on the ground already there. That's how it works, guys. And so we just want to be prayed up and ready for whatever and however God wants to use us here in this community. Our theme scripture throughout this year, and this is going to be our prayer, part of our prayer focus for today as well, from Luke, the 10th chapter, 1 through 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and place where he himself was about to go. That'll preach all by itself, but that's helping us to understand a strategy. Jesus sent people as forerunners to go and prepare that place for his coming. And so he sent them out two by two. That's why it's been so significant that it's me and Carol, God, two by two. He sent us to Harrisburg, go to a place where I'm coming. Wow. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? Jesus still does, God still does the same strategy. He sends people ahead to prepare people for his coming. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out, and that word means to thrust out, or literally to kick them out. Kick out laborers into his harvest. Yeah, he's kicking us out of our comfort zone. In John, the 4th chapter, verse 35, it says, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So quit saying it's going to be in about 4 months. And that's, and the church is really good for that. We're always talking about what God's going to do, what he's going to do. It's gone one day. And Jesus said, no, it's today. It's on now. And harvesting is not only gathering the crops, but it also involves the entire process of gathering. Then they would celebrate. Then there's the threshing and the winnowing and storing it. And I stopped here last week by talking about how it's a long and tedious process. And if the laborers stop short of the final steps in the process, there really hasn't been a successful harvest. And so with that in mind, I just wanted to kind of, these are our part, more of our prayer things to circle in prayer today. All of the different elements that have been developed through the years in growing a crop. And those activities include breaking ground, planting, there's fertilizing, there's weeding, there's pest control, and then there's the actual gathering or the harvesting. And then after the harvesting, there's a whole nother process that goes on. And so the goal of the church, God's goal for the church, was not to establish entertainment centers that they have become today. It was not to become an escape place for our relationships and our families. Jesus gave us the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment was to love God, love our neighbors like we love ourselves. That was his command to us. And the other, he gave us the great commission, which is to go and make disciples. And if a church is not actively, intentionally pushing God's people to these two things, then we really are not fulfilling the point and purpose of the church. In most people's minds in America today, the purpose of the church is to be a place for me to get encouraged so that I can live my life the way I want to, so that I can fulfill my dreams. I've got these things I want to do. I go to church once a week to get encouraged to do that. He said, well, what's wrong with that? Because many of people's dreams ain't got nothing to do with the great command and the great commission. So he brings us into the church and he puts us on the threshing floor to break off that stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the great command and the great commission. That's what the church is for. That's why I said we'll do the harvesting part and get them all in, but then we won't finish the rest of the job, which is the threshing They would have these big, huge, and the threshing floor had to be hard and smooth so that when they lay out all the stalks and the grain and everything, then they run these big, huge things, metal, across it over and over again. And the purpose of that was to break the stalks off of the grain, to break it off. Woo! And how many of you, we can all testify in this room, those of you on watch us online, God didn't allow some stuff to break things off of it. It ain't no nice process. I know that there are people that want it to be, because God is. He's such a loving, wonderful, heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit is gentle and all of that. And we want it always to be that way. But there are some stuff, God's like, no, the only way this is going to come off is going to be broken off. I'm going to have to let the ox tread on it. And so, yeah, he's done it with us, too. That's why we keep saying, as pastors, follow us as we follow Christ, because as you're watching God break stuff off of us, break off of our dreams. Because we had a picture in our mind as to what we thought the church was going to be, our ministry was going to be here in Harrisburg. But God put it on the threshing floor. And he just bust up stuff. God does things and like, okay, yes, yes, Lord. That's another thing he teaches us to say too, is yes, Lord. I used to tell all the young men when they would get married, learn to say two words, yes, dear. You're going to say yes, dear. So I need to add on. Actually, I need to give them two phrases. You need to say yes, Lord, and yes, dear. All right. I won't go through all of these. I was going to go through that. I'll go do that at another time. We'll go through each one of those steps for harvesting, because what I want to really make as part of our prayer circle today, those last aspects of the harvesting, which I just talked about, which is the threshing the crop, breaking up the stalks. And I called it also breaking the bad connections and the old foundations in people's lives. And then the winnowing is after they would do that, then you probably have seen the pictures of them taking this pitchfork and tossing the grain and everything up in the air. And the reason why they would do that is because the wind would separate the chaff, which is the husk, thin husk that covers up the kernels. And so they would toss it up in the air so that the wind could blow blow that chaff off of it. And that, in the spiritual sense, it's the Holy Spirit's way to separate the chaff or the flesh. Flesh, fleshly desires, ambitions, fleshly. Well, there's so much stuff that we don't even realize that's motivated out of our flesh until God tosses us up in the wind. That's another part of the process we don't like. But God, like, God, you being cruel to me. But he will toss us. So to get rid of, let the wind of the Holy Spirit. And that's why that's for that season we did so much teaching about the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to connect some dots and things that we've taught through the years to see how we got to this point where we are now. That's why the teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because we knew, Carol and I knew, that you have to have a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit to do this. Because you get tired. You get worn out. The enemy has a war of attrition that comes up against us. And I'm sure that you have discovered that every time you make up your mind you are really going to follow God, that all kinds of opposition happens. Now, I'm not just talking about from the outside. I'm talking about from within. That's probably the big, my Carol always says that the biggest disappointment is to discover how much stuff that's still in me that does not want the things of God. The flesh is just like the word of the Lord says, is at enmity against the spirit. It really does not want it. You never, ever want to fast. You know, you don't, your flesh, no. Now you can go all day and not eat on your own because you're just so busy. But if you proclaim a fast, man, you hungry 3 days before the fast even start, starving, dreading, or looking at the calendar. Oh, Lord, the fast is coming. But there are people, they're willing to go on diets. They'll do everything if it's for themselves. For themselves, they'll go on a diet. I want to lose weight and I want to look good. But if you say, I want to fast for the nations, I want to fast for breakthrough coming to my family, I want to fast for breakthrough in our city, then the flesh like, no, no. Now, if you wanted to fast because you wanted to look good, because there's some woman that you want to look good for, some man that you want to look good for, you ain't got no problem. That's just how the flesh is. And so that I'm just talking about why the Lord had us talking about the Holy Spirit so much. Because we must go through this winnowing process. Carnality has to be dealt with. And carnality basically is this. It's flesh-centered. It's flesh-motivated. I live my life to please my flesh. And I need to put it in terms that will help us even to connect even better. I live my life for security. I live my life for comfort and security. That's carnality, because anything that interferes with that comfort, anything that interferes with that security, the flesh rises up and it refuses to submit to the will of God, because the will of God always takes us beyond our safety, our security, and our comfort. Yeah. So he has to allow us to go through the winnowing, tossing us into the wind so that his spirit can blow away those fleshly motivation. And then finally, after it goes through that process, then the grain can be stored and ready for use. Ready for what use? For God to use us, to feed us to the world. We must become like the bread and the wine, which Jesus blessed, and he broke it, the bread. And then what did he do? Then he gave it. He passed it around to his disciples to partake of. He said, this is my blood. And then he blessed the wine, and then he gave it. And so we are like that. Yes. And so the emphasis on the church has been so much on being blessed that we forget that after Jesus blessed, then he breaks. Blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and then gives it away. And so we're going to keep singing more and more of those songs, like I give myself away. I give myself to the Lord so that he can use me. And here's the part about when God's using us. Flesh wants some acknowledgement. Not even from the world, but from God. We want God to acknowledge that he's using us, you know, some type of something, when God will be using us and you don't even know it. Don't even have no idea. Lately, we told you during the Christmas break and starting in the new year, different ones have contacted us to thank us. And one young lady posted a blog talking about how God used me and Carol in her life as youth pastors. And it's just amazing to me when people stop you and tell you how God used you. You had no idea. Mom mentioned somebody had stopped her and told her how God used her in her life. And you don't have any idea. And how God is using you, that God is using you. In fact, if you can go back to reflect to what time and season that they remember, the only thing you remember is just trying to survive. I was just trying to hang on. I just those days we had young people meeting in our living room, and we didn't even know what we was doing as youth pastors. Like, I didn't want to be no youth pastor in the first place. And young people talk strange. They do this rap thing. They don't use real music. And here's this young lady writing us years later to talk about how God used us. And so you don't know. Only thing you know is that you're pursuing him. You're chasing after him. You want him. And so those are going to be the things. And then these final areas that I want us to pray about is that the harvest is going to require some things. And this is the reason why for these next, not these next few weeks and months, but really all of this year, so much emphasis is going to be about understanding the harvest, understanding how God wants us to prepare for harvest and to keep pursuing him. And that is because during harvest season, we've had some friends that were actually farmers, and they told us that when harvest season hits, it's every man on, everybody on deck. There's no such thing as, they already got long days anyway, but it said there's no longer just get up at the normal time and then we go into bed at the normal time. When it's harvest season, it's just nonstop. You just go and go because you only got a certain amount of time for all of that stuff to be harvested, for whether it's grain or fruit or whatever it happens to be. Once it's ripe, you got to get it. You can't drag your feet and finally get around to it and all of that. No, it's got to happen. And so there is no set time. The days are longer. So harvest season is like this. It's going to require longer days. It's going to require what's called less leisure, which is an increased season of labor. There's going to be less happiness, but more joy. Did you hear me? There's going to be less happiness, but more joy. See, because happiness depends upon circumstances and situations. But joy comes from God. It's the inner strength of the Lord inside of us. Yeah, isn't that amazing? And so this is the kind of thing you got to prepare for when you're talking about harvest season. Now you can see why so many in the church have failed at this, because they don't like this aspect of harvest. But it's very true. There's longer days. There's less leisure. There's what's called limited license. And this means, in agricultural terms, that means you got to stick to the required method. If there's a particular procedure that must be done to harvest a particular crop, you must stick to that procedure. Do not deviate from it. Don't make exceptions. I'll do it this way. We'll do it faster. I'll cut and skip steps. No. You go through every single step, or every single part of it. Why is that important? Because I've noticed in my lifetime, and I've been saved since I was 4, and I'm 55 now. Can't believe I can say that. I've been saved 50 years. Whew. Had to ponder on that for a while. I've been, as long as I have been saved, I've noticed that there's a lot of people that like to take license. They don't like to go through all of the steps that are necessary in the things of God, especially when it comes to harvest season, when it comes to winning souls and discipling people. They like skipping steps. And you cannot skip steps with people. You really cannot. You stick to the word of God. You don't add to the word of God. You don't take away from the word of God. You don't change the meaning of the word of God to fit your situation. There have been people who were discipling others and they were caught up in a particular sin. And so in order to cover their sin, then they changed the meaning of the scripture to feel good about themselves. That's what I mean. There's no limited license. You stick to this thing the way God said to it. That's part of the reason why we've gotten so far off in the church, and now we've got entertainment centers that allow anybody to sit, to be in the pulpit or to be the musicians. Folks who are not even saved, who are in dance teams and praise teams. No, that's the reason why we've gotten so far off. We've allowed license for people to do whatever they want, live any way they want. In harvest season, there's limited license, so there must be consistency. People must see a consistent, well, I'm going to say perfect, but there must be consistency. Why do I say that? Because even when you're wrong, consistency says you admit that you're wrong. I blew that. I'm sorry. You be real with people. That I have, Bible says you confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. So even among each other, there is necessary to confess, admit. Why? Because it establishes the consistency. You don't make excuses for things that are wrong. And then there's what's called linked liability. Now in harvest, it would be this. If somebody is really not paying attention to what they're doing, you could end up with all kinds of insects or bad fruit or different things mixed into the harvest. And so if one person does that, they're a liability to everybody. Everybody could be doing what's right and handling the harvest right, but one person can mess it up. Why would Pastor Chris say that? Because how many times have we heard about recalls of vegetables or recalls of fruit out of grocery stores? Why? Because somebody along the line in the harvesting process, whether it was an inspector, somebody did not do what they were supposed to do, and therefore they were a liability to everybody. So we have a linked liability. So it's important that everybody understands your role is critical. There is no such thing. Remember, the church used to say there's no big I, you know, big I's and little U's. This is where that comes in. There's no such thing. Everybody's role is extremely important, especially the more comely parts of the body. The Bible says the things that you can't see, the parts of the body that you can't see, the organs, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the more comely parts that don't get any attention at all are extremely important. And we don't understand that a lot of times in the body of Christ in America. We put all the attention and focus on all the visible stuff, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the nose, the ears. All of those are things that if it were cut off, the body could still survive. But the more comely parts that don't get any attention, you can't live without a heart. But yet we ignore the heart and heart ministries. We ignore the lung type of ministries. What I mean, people breathe life. We ignore those ministries in the church and treat them as if though it's not a big deal. But yeah, they're a big deal. So there's linked liability. Your life and witness is affecting me. That's what, if I could put it in those phrases, that's probably the best way for me to say that. Linked liability means your witness is affecting me. My witness affects you. If I had an affair on this woman, you don't think that would affect urban life and my family and other churches here in the community? Even though we're a little tiny ministry, you better know if Pastor Chris did something like that, it'd be all over Harrisburg, affecting what? The ministry and the witness of the entire body. That's what I mean. And even though ain't hardly nobody paid us any attention for 10 years, let me do something wrong. All of a sudden, Urban Life is the most well-known church in the city for what? The wrong reason. Yep. So there's a linked liability. Bless the Lord. Well, that's all of my list, dear. I will now pass the mic on to you. I'll give you a lot of stuff to pray about, which is what I always do, don't I? All right, here you go.
Let's just enter into the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the Great Commission. We thank you for purpose, that we're not just here for ourselves, but we're here because you placed us here for a specific purpose, to fulfill your dream and not our own. And so, Lord, we begin there. We begin with our flesh, with our viewpoint, with how we see our lives. Lord, first of all, Lord, we want to see our lives from your viewpoint. We want to fulfill the purpose that you have established for us to fulfill, so that when we do see your face, we want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we have to begin by being faithful servants. Lord, help us to be faithful servants, to die to our flesh, to find out, to seek out why you have given us life, why you've given us breath. What is your dream for our lives to fulfill? in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to search, to seek out, and to fulfill your purpose for our lives. Help us to die to our flesh. And that is not an easy thing to do, Lord. Help us to surrender our lives to you. Every area, our thought life, which is major, Lord, our imaginations. Help us to submit our imaginations to you. Help us to submit our whole hearts to you. Help us not to try to hide anything from you. You see everything. So help us not to even try to hold back anything from you. You are a good father. You are a loving father. Lord, help us to completely surrender every area of our lives to you in this process of the harvest, Lord. Help us to let go of the flesh, to release the flesh, to die to the flesh, to die to vain imaginations, to cast down everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of your purpose and destiny for our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, help us to break up our fallow ground, the fallow ground in our hearts. Help us to break it up. A lot of times, Lord, we'll want you to just take stuff away from us, but Lord, we have responsibility to break up the fallow ground, to release things, to ask you for help and to break iniquitous patterns in our lives, the inclinations, the leanings into things that are ungodly. Help us to break those things, Lord, to break those patterns in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to plant in good soil, and I pray, Lord, help us to break up the fallow ground so there is good soil for you to plant in our lives, the things that we need so that we can fulfill your purpose, to plant your word, Lord, to be able to dwell in your presence consistently on a daily basis, to consistently be in your presence, so that we can hear from you, so that we can accurately discern your word, to discern your direction, Lord, so that we can have your understanding and your knowledge, your understanding and your wisdom in our lives, Lord, to help us to navigate the different situations that we encounter on a daily basis. Lord, we pray, Lord, help us to break up the fallow ground and that there will be good soil in our hearts so that you can plant your knowledge, your understanding, your wisdom, your direction, your guidance, your counsel, your strategy, and help us to move in your timing so that we don't lose the harvest. Lord, it's very crucial that you move quickly in harvest time. And Lord, help us to not be slack or slothful in any way in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are longer days in during harvest time because you're having to bring in people. You're having to talk to them. You're having to spend time with them to groom them, to speak into their lives, to encourage them, to help them as you are renewing their minds. So it does take, there are longer days, but Lord, harvest times were supposed to be were the happiest times in the lives of your people. They were the happiest times because you're bringing in the harvest. So Lord, I ask that you would help us to walk in your joy, Lord, that as souls come in, that we are happy and that we are happy to spend, we are joyful in spending time with them, to talk with them and to allow them to talk. Lord, that's a joyous time, souls coming into the kingdom. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in that commitment for long, and Lord, in spending time, having longer days, having not only to spend time at work and time with our families, but with the new souls that come in, help us to joyously commit to spending time with them in the name of Jesus. It's joyous. I mean, Lord, it was always happy when new souls came in and that they wanted to know about you. They wanted to know more about your word. They wanted to understand and to know how to apply it to their lives. Lord, that was joyous for us. So Lord, I pray that there would be a joyous commitment to the harvest in the name of Jesus. Lord, yes, there will be less leisure. There will be, but Lord, I pray for compassion, that you would give us hearts, help us to walk in your compassion towards them, because there will be less leisure. There will be less time to spend time doing what we think we might want to be doing. But Lord, the harvest takes compassion. There is less time and it takes our compassion. They need our love, our agape love, to be committed to what's totally best for them. There is less leisure in that. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in agape love towards the harvest, that we would extend your compassion towards them, that we would love them, that we would be totally committed to what is best for them in the name of Jesus, regardless as to whatever leisure time we no longer have. Help us to have compassion and to be totally committed to what is best for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I pray for consistency. Help us not to give in to not feeling like it. Lord, there is limited license. Lord, we have to be consistent in dealing with them, because they will already feel like they're taking up our time. But they need help. They'll be babies. They'll be young in the Lord, and just like any child, you have to spend a lot of time with them. So Lord, help us not to cut corners in spending time with them. Help us not to put them off, Lord, or to make them feel like they're annoying us in any way or taking up our time. We are here for the harvest. That is our purpose. That is a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. That is a part of your dream for us to fulfill. That is a command from you. So Lord, help us to be consistent in ministering to the harvest, to the new souls, to the young souls who come in. Help us to be consistent. Help us to never allow them to feel as though they are in the way, or they are being annoying, or that they are taking up our time. Help them us to never make them feel that way. You didn't do that to us. Help us not to do that to other people. No matter if they, Lord, sometimes they talk a lot. Lord, sometimes they call us at times that it's inconvenient. Lord, it's always going to be inconvenient. So help us, Lord, never to let them feel that inconvenience in the name of Jesus. Lord, no matter what their personality, no matter who they are, Lord, help us to never make them feel as though they are being an inconvenience to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to give in to our flesh in any way. The souls are precious to you, Lord. They should be precious to us. So, Lord, help us, help them to be precious to us. Help us to be consistent in ministering to the harvest. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that everyone would do their part. Lord, help us not to be a liability. Help us, Lord, to always be a crucial part and to fulfill our part. Help us to always keep covenant. And in a place, Lord, where covenant is not something that is valued, Lord, I pray that this would be a place that is known as a place of covenant, that we always do our part, that we always keep our word, that we're dependable, Lord, that we always fulfill our part, that we're dependable, that we are faithful, that we are loving, that we are caring, Lord, that there is always a ready word, Lord, that we are known for that. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for the harvest. Lord, we pray for the harvest. Lord, laborers are few. So, Lord, we pray to you, Lord, that you would send out laborers into your harvest. Lord, send us laborers. Lord, you have called urban life to be. You have called this place into being. And so, Lord, I pray that you would send laborers, that you would send laborers for the harvest. Send us help, Lord. Send us help. And for those that you have called to be here, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would send angels, Lord, to wake up people, to jiggle them, to help them not to be comfortable in their comfort zones. Don't let them be comfortable. Lord, I pray. Lord, we call them from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, from those that you have called to be here. Lord, I pray that you don't let them be comfortable. And I pray, Lord, that this prayer would go forth and that it would accomplish what we would have it to accomplish, that it would not be void. Lord, I pray that this prayer would go out to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, and that they would not be able to be comfortable where they are in the name of Jesus. They are supposed to be here. So, Lord, I pray that they would not be comfortable until they get here in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done in this house, in and through this house. Lord, we ask it, we pray, Lord, and we believe that this is what you would have. So, Lord, we pray that you would cause it to be so. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, send laborers, send faithful, covenantal laborers, send laborers who are committed, who are compassionate, who are consistent, and who keep covenant. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.